collecting dust is going to Goodwill. Because we're going to utilize every inch we got before we do anything else. Okay, we'll make that announcement again later. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, here he uses that all things again. The end of all things is at hand. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. John wrote this in one of his little three books in the back of the book. It said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. My greatest wish above all things is that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I want to talk and teach for a little while above all things, above whatever else you got going on. Lord, I'm thankful for all the things that we have in this life. For even driving over here, my wife and I commenting about how things have changed in the last 20, 30, and even 100 years. There were no roads here like we have, and transportation and media and iPhones and all this things. But above all things, as the song says, I must be saved. Lord, help us to remember there's things above these things that we see on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're all working to get stuff. That's right. You're working to get more things. I'm going to work hard. I'm getting extra jobs so I can get me a thing that you're going to leave behind when you lay down. It's all going to stay behind. So he said, above all things. There's some things we need to talk about. The Apostle Peter lived during the birth, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, and the reception of the Holy Ghost. He was there for all of these things, these spiritual things concerning God and the kingdom of God. And all of the prophecies relating to Christ had now been fulfilled. And the Comforter had even returned during the day Peter lived in. So he says, the end of all things is at hand. Wow. When you think about it, they waited for thousands of years for a Messiah to come. And he walked on earth for 3.5 years, and we're waiting thousands of years for him to come back. 3.5 years he walked on earth. And it's been waiting ever since. Both sides. Waiting for him to come. Waiting for him to come back. It's a waiting thing. And he said, the end of all things is now at hand. And we need to live in anticipation of his returning. So Paul, when you read the Apostle Paul, you can tell from his writings, he thought he was coming back in his lifetime. I mean, he writes like there's no tomorrow, just to live as Christ, to die as gain. Let's just, and even the old timers, Grandpa and them, they preached, Lord, he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. And I said, he's coming back. And they were shouting over him, coming back. And they're dead. But he's still coming back, y'all. It's still going to rain, Noah said. Some passed away before it rained, but it still rained. He's coming back. And some people think that God is slack concerning his promises, but the Bible says he's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is just towards us, willing that none should perish, but all come to repentance. Hallelujah. So the Apostle Peter says the end is at hand. Therefore, we should live soberly. Wake up, live soberly, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity, he said, shall cover a multitude of mistakes. Sin. Fervent charity means consistent love. It's not, I love you today, but I don't like you today. I forgive you today, but I don't forgive you tomorrow. consistent, it's intense, it's passionate charity. And he says that charity is a covering. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did he do? He loved them so much, he covered them. He covered them. Charity is a covering. The Bible says, and I'll say it kind of the way Solomon would say it, only a fool would uncover someone's transgressions. The Bible says to cover another man's transgressions, lest he hate thee. Sometimes I know what you did, but I don't want to say a word. We need to understand it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. Sometimes it's good you know I know, and I didn't say anything. Because sometimes you think you're getting away, you say, well, he doesn't know. You'd be surprised how much I know. But I just keep preaching. I keep loving. Because that's what he did to me. I know he knows. See, no one's ever heard all your testimony. I say that every once in a while, and well, you know. But in spite of that, he knows he still loved you anyway. Hallelujah. That's fervent charity, fervent love. Charity covers a multitude of sins. The apostle says that put above all things on the top of your list, it starts with charity. Then you get to these other things. Above your own feelings, put charity. Put charity ahead of what someone said about you, what someone did to you. Someone lied on you. Someone cheated. Someone did. All these things, he said, put charity on top of it. And it just kind of covers it. Covers it. So the Apostle Paul said that charity is capable of doing four things. Now, every once in a while, I give myself a check. I go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and 7 because we say we love God. Oh, I love you, Jesus. We sing all these songs. Jesus said, you say you love me. If you love me, keep my commandments. So Paul writes to the Corinthian church and he tells them in one sentence, really the whole essence of chapter 13. Let's look at it in 13 and 7. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. I'm going to take these four things that charity can, you should be able to possess, and break them down as quickly as I can. Charity beareth all things. You might want to remember this verse. To bear something is not necessarily to endure it, because he says it endureth all things later. To bear all things is to be able to contain all things. I can take whatever comes my way. Hallelujah. It means to be able to cover something, to completely envelop it, to bear it, to be able to withstand it, the breaking down. And the Bible says, Isaiah, surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. And we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded. He was bearing it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our, he was bearing it. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was bearing it. And by his stripes, he bore my grief, my sorrow, my sins. He was bearing it. Hallelujah. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved me. That's why he bore it. You won't bear anything for people you don't love. You'll say, I ain't putting up with this. But you'll put up with the same thing with your kids. Your kids can mistreat you over and over and abuse you over and over. And this is the last time. And you'll do it again. Why? Love. 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 It covers over all that anger. Covers off. Oh, but if it ain't your kid, you don't put up with nothing. You see? Christ loved us while we were yet sinners and enemies. He loved me like his own son and covered me and helped me and bear my ignorance and bear through my even when I wasn't ignorant and doing wrong. Real love can handle it. Real love can take whatever comes its way. Jesus was able to bear all things because he loved us. To bear something is like a container. See, this container is a bearer. Right? You read in the Bible, it was cupbearers. Bearers. That's what this scripture is talking about. It bears all things. You can pour almost anything into here. It'll hold it. And so it's a bearer. And so we are like a container. You and I are a container. He calls us vessels, right? So as a vessel, we need to be able to bear all things. I know as a school teacher, you got to bear some stuff. You bear it from the little one here to the principal and the governor too. You got to bear it. I didn't say endure it, bear it. We'll get to the endurance in a minute, but you got to bear it. Bear all things. Because what we really are containers. And what's poured into me, I pour into you. That's what it is. You know, and that's really what gossip is. It's just pouring from one to another. You tell me and I tell you and they tell. But even good things, whatever you put into me as a vessel, it's poured into me. And then I pour it back out into some other form. You pour knowledge into something, it comes out as wisdom. And what happened was we poured into Christ sin. He drank the cup and he poured out the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We're bearers of things. And it said charity can bear all things. Hallelujah. My. Jesus took the sins of the world, said, though your sins be as scarlet, pour them on me, cast your cares upon me, and I'll make it white as snow. I'll pour back out. I'll cleanse what's impure comes through me. I'll filter out the bad and pour it out clean. How many of you ever used a water filter at your house? Man, we've been through some water filters. Because it's going to come out different, they say. You know, there's a lot of companies, they were just getting that water out of the tap water and selling it like it was, and people were enjoying it. Sometimes I wonder about that stuff. Charity can bear all things. It can bear the negative things of life. It can bear the pressures of sickness, the pressures of a divorce. It can bear all things. If you love God, you can bear all things. My. Listen to 13. There hath no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. There's no new temptation to you, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you be tempted above what ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He did not say, I take it off. He told his disciples before he left, I send you out into a very troubled world, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He said, I'm not taking you out of this world, for then I'd had no necessity to come. But I come to help you be able to bear it. Charity bears all things. My. That's a good one. Number two. Charity believeth all things. The scripture says all things are possible to them that believe. Now, this is not when it says all things, like believeth all things. Somebody said the cow jumped over the moon last night. Yeah, right. But as concerning the kingdom of God and what God can do and what I believe God can do, it's like the three Hebrew children. I don't know if God will deliver us out of this fire, but he's able. He can. Don't know if he will, but he can. And so I believe that God can do all things. Hallelujah. Charity believes all things, not just when it looks right and it's coming my way. Charity believes unto death. Yes, unto death, charity will believe. Hallelujah. Believe all things. Number three, charity hopeth all things. Hope is to express a desire that what is not seen will someday come to pass. It is the expression of desire. I hope. You name it. I hope. I don't see it. Don't know how it's going to happen. But I have hope. Hope and faith go together. The Bible says that hope is the anchor of the soul. I went fishing this week and a little breeze was blowing. And rather than fight the breeze, I threw out an anchor. But an anchor without a rope is a goner. But I had a rope. It's called faith. I tied it on to my vessel. Yeah. So they go together. If hope is the anchor of the soul, faith is the rope that's tied on to the anchor, and I am the vessel tied, both steadfast and sure. And as the tide can go this way, it can go that way, the waves can go up and go down, but as long as I have faith and hope, I'll see you tomorrow. I will be here tomorrow, 3 years from now, until my dying days, I have hope. I have hope. Ecclesiastes, let me read this first in Hebrews 11 and 1. Then I want to go to Ecclesiastes. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I know that anchor's down there because when I pulled the rope, I could feel the weight. By it, the elders obtained a good report. They never received the promise, but they had a great report. Great report. Some people are walking in the promise and have a terrible report. That's right. It's never enough. It's never this. It's never that. I wish we were this. And I wish we were that. Lord, Lord, go back to their day. You quit all that. Ecclesiastes 9 and 4 said, for him that is joined to all the living, that's you that got up this morning and made your way to church, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Wow. Wow. A living dog. You bunch of dogs, you're better than a dead lion. What a contrast Solomon puts between these two animals, saying that there's more hope with a living dog, a scratching, flea-bit, mangy dog. There's more hope for him than there is a roaring lion that can't roar anymore. I'll never forget. I don't know if I'll tell it right, but you remember Jerry Clower? Oh, you know how you'd do that? And he said about a young man that lied all the time. Just lied, lied, lied. His daddy's sick of him lying. And in the neighborhood, a guy had a dog, and it was one of these collie kind of dogs. And dog had some mange, so he decided he'd help cure the mange, and so he shaved his dog. He took the clippers and shaved his dog, and he left it right around his collar, that long hair, you know. Let the dog loose in the neighborhood. And the daddy had gotten on to his son about all this lying you're doing. Son, if you lie one more time, so help me, I'm going to send you up to your room. You're going to talk to God. You're going to repent, and you're not coming down until you get that lying spirit out of you. He said, okay, daddy. Yes, sir, daddy. You're not lying no more? No, sir, daddy. I'm never going to lie again. He walked out the door. He come right back in, shut the door. He said, daddy, there's a lion in the driveway. There's a lion in our yard. He said, son, get up to your room. Get up to your room. Get up to your room. And don't you come down till you heard from God. Boy went up to his room. About 3 minutes later, he's walking down the steps. And daddy said, did you talk to God? He said, yeah, I did, daddy. He said, well, what did God say? He said, God told me the first time he saw that dog, he thought it was a lion too. I'd rather be a live dog than a dead lion. The king of the jungle and the junkyard dog. How many of you rather be a junkyard dog than a dead lion? Ooh, hallelujah, because there's hope with the junkyard dog, but there's no hope, I'm going to tell you something this morning, with a dead lion. Living dogs are better than dead lions. Even Jesus was the lion out of the tribe of Judah. But Judah failed to believe they were dying in their own sin. They failed to believe in Jesus Christ when he came. So listen to this. The kingdom went to the dogs. They failed to believe in the dead Christ had rose again. So the kingdom went to the dogs. That was the Gentiles. The Gentiles were the dogs. And they were the most unrespected. Just in that day, when they, you know, today we have Fifi and what you gonna name your puppies? Puppies for sale. And, you know, I got one named Fortune and I got one named Bucky and she has Sophie and Melanie has Petals. And how many of you have a dog? Woo! How many of you have a lion? Yeah, okay. So during those days, let me tell you, there was